This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. Britain, the United Kingdom, bolts out of the European Union.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Waking up to a new world order, Great Britain sends shockwaves around the world. They vote to leave the European Union.
I was absolutely clear about my belief that Britain is stronger, safer, and better off inside the European Union. But the British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction. This is not a decision I've taken lightly, but I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required. There is no need for a precise timetable today, but in my view, we should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative Party conference in October.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This does not mean that the United Kingdom will be in any way less united, nor indeed does it mean that it will be any less European. Britain will continue to be a great European power, leading discussions on foreign policy and defence and intelligence sharing and all the work that currently goes on to make our world safer.
If the UK does leave the EU, I think it's fair to say that maybe some point down the line there might be a UK-US trade agreement, but it's not going to happen anytime soon because our focus is in negotiating with a big bloc, the European Union, to get a trade agreement done. And UK is going to be in the back of the queue.
I hope this victory brings down this failed project and leads us to a Europe of sovereign nation states trading together, being friends together, cooperating together, and let's get rid of the flag, the anthem, Brussels, and all that has gone wrong. Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, they're calling it British Independence Day, June 23rd. That's because in a, what are some considering a very surprise move, you have a situation that has now developed where the European Union is going to be absent one of its main partners, and that is Great Britain. And this is a big development, folks, because you have to understand what is at play here and what's at stake. And that is the United Kingdom has been probably the strongest, or certainly with Germany, the strongest economies in this European Union. But this was also a political revolt. Do not kid yourself for a moment that this doesn't pretend things for us in the United States. This was a rejection of the status quo. This was a rejection of the idea that the political elites would continue to maintain their control over the populace. This was a rejection of the status quo. This was a rejection of an open borders policy. So this was a huge ramifications here. I don't think we can overstate them for a moment. We're going to have an interesting look at this because, as many of you know, Professor Harry Hutchison, who's with us, is also a director of our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. He is Oxford educated. I also am a member of our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, and we've worked at multiple colleges at Oxford, including Exeter College. We're about to do another one this summer at St. Anthony's. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is a Senior Research Associate at our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. So we know Europe. We know the situation. I'm going to go to Harry here first because let me do this. We have 1 minute before a break, so we're going to hold that thought. We're going to take your phone calls, folks, and I'll get to Professor Hutchison and to Than in just a moment. But this is a big development. What does it mean politically for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? And this was a defeat for President Obama. We want your comments on all of this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Big news on Friday. The United Kingdom says no to the European Union. We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. And what does it mean for our politics here in the United States? For those of you that are for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson, give us a call. We want to know what you think about all this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, on the day that shook Europe. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
We're calling it Brexit, and that is the British, the United Kingdom, leaving in a vote yesterday by the citizens of the UK to remove themselves from the European Union. I said this rejects the establishment status quo. It's protectionism versus feeling you're not protected. I mean, there's a whole host of situations. We're going to get right into it with Professor Harry Hutchison. And as I said, if you're just joining us, the three of us, actually, Dan Bennett as well, have all had Oxford University training and experience at our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. Harry's graduate of Wycliffe, and we both have done work at Exeter College and are about to do work at St. Anthony's. So we study Europe. We study the trends in Europe. We study in Oxford, so we understand that. Let's talk first, Harry, about you made a statement when we were prepping for this. Obviously, folks, we were planning on finishing up the whole ISIS issue and the terrorism issue, but this was a pretty shocking development, although the polls indicated that it was going to be a win. I don't think anybody understood the nature of the win. What's interesting is we've got a comment from Facebook, Jackie, who said, "I lived in Great Britain. They are lucky because they actually make changes and get things done." So there are people that are looking at this, Harry, as a popular uprising, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think it's a bottoms-up uprising as opposed to top-down. In effect, the British people decided to disrupt politics as usual. And that may have serious implications for the United States to the extent that this is transferable. There are many American voters, both on the left and the right, who believe that the American political system needs to be upended sharply. And this view may carry forward in terms of the American election.
And you could see that in the movements of Donald Trump and for that matter, for Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. Basically, both of them have suggested that many parts of the American system are rigged. And so we live in a country wherein politicians give speeches to investment bankers. They receive huge amounts of money in return. We don't know what's being promised to these investment bankers, but it's pretty clear that these investment banks, for instance, would not pay these huge fees unless they were purchasing something.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, they're purchasing access.
Right. And that seems to be one of the reactions. Another great comment coming in on Facebook. David on Facebook says, I like that it was the people who decided to get out, not the government. And that, by the way, was a thematic of Donald Trump, who was ironically in Scotland today as all this broke, opening his new golf course, Turnberry. Here's what Donald Trump had to say.
But I really do see a parallel between what's happening in the United States and what's happening here. People want to see borders. They don't necessarily want people pouring into their country that they don't know who they are and where they come from. They have no idea. And I think, you know, it not only did it win, but it won by a much bigger margin than people thought it would happen.
So, Thana, we look at that. We're going to get into the political consequences. We talked about, you know, some of the, we'll get into some of the reason why the British populace voted this way. But let's talk about the political reactions here. What does this mean for Donald Trump?
I don't think there's any question but that it helps him, Jay. I mean, this is right down the line of all of the things that he's been messaging his campaign around. A lack of secure borders, open borders, the increase of sovereignty that needs to take place, the top-down control. I think this was a pretty clear move by the British electorate to reject all of those notions. Now, the question will be, Jay, can Donald Trump take that messaging and actually convince the American people in a general electorate that he has the solutions for that? That part remains to be seen, but I think it's pretty clear that these circumstances play directly into his hands, especially if you take into account that the President of the United States and Hillary Clinton both went very firmly on the record on the other side of this. They were lobbying for the stay in the European Union side to carry the day, and that position was rejected.
Do we have the statement from President Obama when he said he encouraged people to stay in and then threatened this trade? Let's go ahead and play that one, President Obama.
If the UK does leave the EU, I think it's fair to say that maybe some point down the line there might be a UK-US trade agreement, but it's not going to happen anytime soon because our focus is in negotiating with a big bloc, the European Union, to get a trade agreement done. And UK is going to be in the back of the queue.
So the president took a position, went there, intervened. The great quote from Winston Churchill, who said, unsuccessful interventions into the affairs of another government are not good things. So this was an unsuccessful intervention into the affairs of another government, and it was not a good thing. He was talking about in the context of war, but I think it applies in the context of this kind of political thing too. Here's what you've got, Harry. We talked about this. There was fundamentally a rejection by at least a majority of the citizens of the UK that not only was the status quo not the way they wanted to go, but that this unelected bureaucracy out of Brussels controlling their life, they had enough of it. And that sounds an awful lot like Washington controlling our life.
Absolutely. So 55% of the laws that govern Britain originate in Brussels. And so these laws originate with an unelected bureaucracy.
Yep.
And this bureaucracy has largely been captured by multinational companies and investment banks. We have a similar phenomenon in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
The bureaucrats have largely been captured by wealthy multinational corporations who are interested in some form of globalism.
Yep.
Globalism is being rejected by average working class Britons, or Brits, I should say, and Americans.
Yeah. And I think the political consequences that are similar. Let's go take some phone calls. We got a lot of them coming in. Let's start with Robert calling from Maryland on line 5. Hi, Robert.
Hi. How you doing, Jay? Good. I wanted to ask you, do you believe that with the UK, United Kingdom leaving the European Union, why do you see this as possibly a defeat or rebuke to President Obama? Is it primarily because of the trade deals, or do you primarily believe it's because of his belief in globalism?
Well, I think it's a globalism issue, certainly. I think it's both. I think there's a rejection in the UK, and I think there's probably a pretty serious rejection in the United States. Whether it'll be a majority or not, we'll see. Of this idea of globalism, the whole American first issue, or Britain first, which is part of what you're seeing out of the UK, is real. I think President Obama also lost, and he lost because he intervened in their internal affairs, and the trade threat, I think, is not real. There was also a concern you heard some say about military threat when we joined by Colonel Wes Smith in the second half hour of the broadcast, who says that's not a real issue. But Robert, you asked a very important question, and let me go to Harry on this. You mentioned 55% of the laws being controlled out of Brussels.
Correct.
Threatening trade. which is what the president said, is where, hey, Brit, you get in the back of the queue now because, you know, you don't stay in the European Union. The fact of the matter is the European Union is very fractured, and the British may be the first of many to exit.
Absolutely. And so that if the president were to actually try to enforce his perspective, that would mean that he would be hurting the United States, because the United States is still a strong trading partner with Great Britain. So yep. It's in our interest to retain that relationship.
Yep.
Secondly, I would suggest that the president's intervention backfired in a big way. Instead, the British people found their own voice. And
yeah.
Basically, they've declared independence from the president's unwise intervention.
Yeah.
And so this is arguably a huge win for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I tend to view it that way too, Than. I'm going to take a call on that in a minute. But your sense on this, you mentioned, you know, can he materialize it? Can he do something with it? But there was, you know, the immigration issue. We haven't even gotten into that yet. The immigration issue played big. The you know, there's the they call the tea kettles and toaster issue, which I'll explain what that means in a moment. But on the political side of this, with a minute and 30 seconds left here, what's your sense?
There's no question that it's an opportunity for Donald Trump. I mean, he's been messaging on this exact point. I'll go back to what Harry said about a defeat for President Obama. It's a defeat both politically because the president went out and advocated for a position that lost, but it's also a defeat on his perspective on globalism and policy.
Yep.
Who will control your life? Will it be someone that's far away from you, or will it be someone that's closer? You know, we have a regulatory scheme in the United States that is not all that different from what the Brits just threw off in the European Union, and that is exactly the message that Donald Trump has been trying to get out.
We wrote a book about it called Undemocratic, and that book dealt with bureaucracies that are out of control. If you want to get more familiar with this issue, I encourage you to pick it up wherever books are sold. You can get a copy of Undemocratic. Let me say this. There is also the British people rejected Brussels making the laws that affected them. Those laws included taking away their tea kettle pots because the size of them, their toasters, and even their hair dryers. And people were sick of being regulated by Brussels. We complain about it's Washington, D.C., but at least it's within the United States. With Brussels, it was another governing entity that created a lot of this. All right, we'll take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Breaking news, if you're just joining us. Britain exits. And they exit the European Union. We've got offices in Strasbourg, France. We'll talk about that, too. But we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 when we come back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical 5-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have 5 key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Well, the Brits have had it. And they said enough's enough, and they're leaving the European Union. They never adopted, by the way, the euro as their official currency. They always kept with the pound sterling and the British pound. But yeah, this is a big issue. It's a big rejection of President Obama. We're going to get Hillary Clinton's. Do we have any pre-Hillary Clinton before the vote comments? I don't think she really weigh into it. So we'll see if there's any other statements from her. But let me go right to the phones here. A lot of this is impacting. A lot of people have questions. 800-684-3110. Let me go to Alicia, calling from California on line one. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for you being a beacon for all of us out there. My question has to do with the fact that I used to live in England, and my friend who does also has a – he lives here now, but he has a home in Germany, and he's worried that with the Brexit that that'll mean he'll have to maybe sell his house, or if he traveled around Europe, he'd have to get work permits and visas and things like that. So what does it stand for English people as far as moving about Europe now?
That'll be negotiated. I mean, part of what will happen here is going to be a negotiated exit. And they're not going to retroactively be able to revoke property. But I think on immigration and work permits, that I think, Harry, that is going to be a big part of it.
There's a
because that was part of the reason they did this.
Absolutely. There's a provision in the EU treaty that allows Britain to trigger a two-year process for negotiating its exit. And so you won't see any dramatic change probably over the next 18 months or so. But it's also important to note that there are individuals in the EU, particularly the EU president, that wish to negotiate a quick, sharp, decisive exit.
I mean, I'm just playing counterintuitive here. If I was the EU, the idea that Britain, the United Kingdom, is pulling out, it does not bode well for other governments that may have similar intentions.
Absolutely. And so we have seen the rise of nationalist movements in France, to some extent in Spain,
Greece.
Even in Scotland, which is part of the UK,
they say they're going to vote for another. They're going to do another independence referendum.
And so it's very likely that over the next 3 to 5 years, you may see a fracturing of Europe and a fracturing of the EU. And this will redound to the disadvantage, in all likelihood, of Germany, because Germany has benefited disproportionately from the EU.
All right, let's go to Tom, who's calling from Highport, North Carolina. He's online, too. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Jay. I'm actually going to change the topic on you a little bit. With the breaking news about the Supreme Court decision yesterday, I think it was pretty clear cut that Obama overreached. And I was just wondering, how did they, if you would call them dissenting opinion, how do they justify their decision without being political?
Well, there is no dissenting opinion. So this was a 4-4 tie. It was not there's no opinion on this. And the immigration issue, by the way, does tie directly into the whole British situation. But it was just a 4-4 decision of the Supreme Court, which is a tie. A tie, it was a one-sentence order, means the Fifth Circuit decision, which said that President Obama engaged in executive overreach, violated separation of powers, is the law of the land. What's interesting about this, and Tom, how I can tie it right back into it, is the fact that in the United States, the Supreme Court makes a decision. We are a nation of laws. We follow the decision of the Supreme Court, even when we disagree. We're a nation of laws. The Brits are a nation of law, too. The problem is their laws, Harry, were being determined. There are a lot of the court cases out of Brussels or Strasbourg.
Absolutely. And so the British people had very limited input in the creation of those laws. And many of those laws were stupid at the end of the day, if you look at them carefully. They made very little sense. Part of the issue with the EU is they sought to impose an unnatural uniformity on a large group of people comprised of 27 different nations.
Yeah.
It made little sense.
Yeah, and I think the impact on it, by the way, Professor Hutchinson's article is up at aclj.org. 5 things you need to know about the British exit. Brexit, as it's called, Brexit. It is up right now, and we encourage you to do that. We got a comment from Nest on Periscope. Could this ultimately be the end of the EU? I think it's problematic for the EU. I think this is the beginning of a potential unravel. They may try to work to get the Brits back in. Who knows what they'll do in that negotiated plea? We'll see. We're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me take McKinsey calling from New York City on line 5. Hi, McKinsey.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
You know, I've respected you. And like, let me just say, I'm a Christian with a Jewish heart.
Okay.
I love the nation of Israel from very young. But Mr. Joe, whatever your last name, I do not always agree with you with everything.
It's free country. You don't have to.
Thank you for that. I have to call in and let you know. I do not believe President Obama tried to influence the outcome in the United Kingdom.
Well,
if it's anything, the impression I'm getting from you, sir, with all respect to you, is that you're trying to influence our elections by saying what happened in Europe could give Donald Trump a chance.
Well, that's just that's just fact. And let me play for you, McKinsey, what President Obama said. Because you're saying he didn't try to intervene. Well, that's the exact opposite. Here's what he said in April before the vote.
If the UK does leave the EU, I think it's fair to say that maybe some point down the line there might be a UK-US trade agreement, but it's not going to happen anytime soon because our focus is in negotiating with a big bloc, the European Union, to get a trade agreement done.
So, with McKinsey, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your call, but I think, Fan, I think this is a good point for you to jump in. The president was trying to make a political point in the UK.
He absolutely was. Sure. That press conference was standing alongside Prime Minister David Cameron, who resigned in the wake of this outcome because both of them were trying for the other outcome. And listen, I mean, they thought the UK should stay in the European Union. The other result prevailed. David Cameron stepped down. It was clearly a rebuke and of not only the EU, Jay, but also the British people saying, we also don't want the influence of the American president involved in this. And the final thing I would say about that soundbite, the president is exactly wrong that a new trade deal between the United States and the United Kingdom is going to go to the end of the line. I predict by the middle of next week, you will see the United States Congress commit to enacting a new trade deal with the United Kingdom before the end of this transition process. It will go to the very top of the list when it comes to terms of trade
agreements. I hope everybody's listening to this because you're getting an analysis here. You're not getting anyplace else. So we're cutting through the political nonsense. Sylvia's calling from North Carolina before we take a break. Hey, quickly, Sylvia, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, Sylvia, we'll come back to you because I think we had a little connection issue. We are the first half hour of the broadcast is come to a conclusion, which is hard to believe, but we are here for 30 more minutes, which means you could get the full hour of the broadcast. Many of the stations you're listening to right now are getting the full hour, but if you don't, all you have to do is go over to aclj.org. We're streaming it live on the website. You both audio only, or you can get video quality where you're actually inside the studio with us, and many of you are hundreds and thousands are on right now on Facebook and Periscope and also on just simply by going to aclj.org. So there's multiple ways for you to get this messaging to get the next half hour of the broadcast. So SiriusXM, you got it, a number of stations, but if you're about to lose us, just go over to aclj.org. You can stream it live there, or again, go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Facebook.com/JSeculo, or @JSeculo on Periscope. We've got hundreds on Periscope, thousands on Facebook, millions listening by radio. We encourage you to do that as we've got 30 more minutes of this broadcast left. We're going to be hearing about some of the, we haven't even really touched some of the issues I want to hit yet. We're going to get into the immigration issue more. And was this the intellectual elites versus the citizens of Great Britain? And what does that mean for the United States? I think this is a wake-up call, folks. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, said he will resign in 3 months. He will leave office in light of this defeat. So this is big ramifications for the UK, for the EU, and I think for the United States as well. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got some lines open. 800-684-3110.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have 5 key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
We will fight.
because they voted and they said, out we go, out of the European Union. They're done. They've had enough. Part of it was immigration. Part of it was the economy. Part of it was toasters, hair dryers, and tea kettles being regulated by Brussels. And they had enough. I'm taking your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. Professor Harry Hutchison is with me. Than Benner, our Director of Government Affairs, is with us as well. And we will take your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to encourage you to call in. We want to talk a little politics on how does this impact the whole situation of American politics. And is there a direct correlation? So if you're a Trump person or a Clinton person, or if you're a Bernie Sanders person or a Gary Johnson person, call us. We want to hear your comments on all this. 1-800-684-3110. Let me first recast what's happened. David Cameron has resigned as the prime minister from number 10 Downing Street, and he will do that over a period of 3 months. Then the political ramifications here, Donald Trump says there are. Your sense is?
100%. It focuses the issues of this election on many of the things that Donald Trump wants to talk about. Sovereignty, open borders, national security. It's a clear opportunity for him. And Jay, you mentioned toasters and tea kettles in Great Britain. Well, our regulatory scheme controls which direction the water flows in our toilets. It's not that different, and it presents an opportunity for Donald Trump to say, this is exactly what I've been saying. I'm for local control. It sets the stage for him to further those arguments.
Harry, immigration played, the people are underscored, not giving that as much attention as I think it would deserves, and that is the immigration issue in the UK has been significant. There is a sense from UK citizens that they have lost control over their country.
Absolutely. And I think the voters in Great Britain administered a dose of humility to the political class, to intellectual elites, and to the smart money folks. Basically, the voters in Great Britain said, we need to get a handle on immigration. We need to control our borders. And we really need to limit the number of refugees that are admitted to Britain, particularly refugees that are not properly vetted. The evidence on the ground suggests that the ISIS is attempting to insert jihadist fighters in Western countries.
We know that. Were they concerned about that here in the United States?
And I think the evidence is clear that that poses a threat to largely unprotected individuals, average working class folks.
You wrote in your piece that is up at ACLJ.org, by the way, that five things you need to know about Brexit, which is the British exit, is number two, the vote represents a rejection of globalism and a rebirth of nationalism. And I think that is parallel here. There is this sense that we've not taken care of America enough. That has not been the priority. Certainly that was a sentiment within the UK.
Right. Absolutely. And so you saw a clear divide in Great Britain if you looked at the vote. In London, particularly the wealthier districts, they voted to stay in the EU.
Right.
But in the rest of the country, what we might call flyover country in the United States, they voted to leave. In part because their concerns are not seen as a priority either in Brussels or in London. Clearly, many Americans believe that their concerns are not seen as a priority in Washington, D.C.
I think it's that same frustration level. I'm going to quickly go to Glenda, calling on line six. Hi, Glenda. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question relates to Brexit, and can you answer the question of why it affected, the result affected the United States stock market?
This morning, I looked at that. So there was about a 500 point initially, the Dow was down about 500 points. Then it's down, we'll get the most recent, it was now down about 300, which is, means it's still ahead of where it was last week. It had picked up the 400 points. So I think it was the instability factor. I'm not knowing, but I think the markets are going to rally around, and I think the president's threats on the whole trade issue are going to go away. You're going to see that. Than mentioned that. We'll talk more about it when we come back from break. It was a great question. All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. How do you think this affects the U.S. elections? I want your comments at 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Now we're wrong if we're
right. It's because hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the big news, which is the exit from the EU by Great Britain. Do we have the soundbite where David Cameron talked about this was going to be tougher in our fight with ISIS if we leave the EU? I want to make sure we have that. Let's make sure we get that right away. Because I think it's important. There's a military component to this. I want to get to a phone call. Then Wes Smith is joining us as well. But let me take a call here because Cliff has been hanging on for a long time. Hey, Cliff.
Yes, Jay. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I was wondering, can we use a similar referendum that they used in Britain to force a convention of the states?
Well, you can get a convention of the states, but the reality of getting that in place is a very difficult process. Here it was a direct referendum vote. I mean, so it's a bit of a different governance structure, Harry, I mean, in Great Britain.
Absolutely.
So it's easier for them to do it.
Absolutely, and I think in order to move in the same direction in the United States, you would have to overcome the entrenched power of elites, both political and economic elites, and it would be much more difficult, I think, in the United States.
All right, let me get Wes Smith in this, retired colonel from the United States Army. Wes, one of the comments that has been made, which I find ridiculous, although David Cameron made it, and I've got a lot of respect for David Cameron, but he said this, and that was this whole idea that, well, if the EU exit by Great Britain will somehow impact and make it easier for ISIS. And I think the reaction for the populace was kind of the contrary. You served in England in the military and from the United States. Give me your reaction to that.
Yeah, I think part of that is simply David Cameron doing the same thing that President Obama did, and that is in trying to implore people to stay in the EU. They made these, you know, veiled threats of gloom and doom. But we have a long-standing relationship with the UK militarily, going back at least until the late 1930s when President Roosevelt was surreptitiously providing them with arms, and of course we joined them in World War II.
Right.
And I just don't see this as having a big impact. And actually, when you think about border security, it may make, you know, the Great Britain more secure from ISIS and other terrorist groups. I think it's interesting, Jay, though, that whenever the EU was forming and the UK joined, you know, they not only kept their own currency,
yeah,
but Article 42 of the Treaty on European Union called for a totally integrated military. And for the last 20 or 30 years, because Great Britain, the UK, refuses to approve that, it has never, ever been affected. And they do not have a joint integrated EU military because the UK was the holdout, and they simply would not do it. They kept their currency,
right,
and they kept their own national defense.
I made a point early in the broadcast about the fact that I think this was kind of handwriting on the wall here, with the, that in Europe, there was the passage, of course, from coinage and money and commerce was the euro. That was what it's called. It's the euro. Right. That's the currency of Europe. The UK said, no, we're going to keep our pound sterling. We're going to keep our currency as it is. Wes mentioned just now that, in fact, they did not integrate the military forces between the various EU countries. So Great Britain has kept their Royal Air Force, the Royal Navy, and their arms, and they've been engaged in many of the conflicts we've been engaged in and been a big ally of the United States. So this idea that David Cameron, and I'm going to play it in a moment, making the statement that, you know, if we don't stay within the European Union, it's a win for ISIS. I think the kind of reaction of the populace, Harry, was exactly the opposite. It was that ISIS was getting in because they were members of the European Union.
Absolutely. And I think that Britain can do a much more effective job maintaining its own independent military and maintaining its own independent control of its borders. Part of the problem with the EU is the resolve of the European community in terms of fighting terrorism has simply not been there. And I think the Brits have been much more proactive in dealing with terrorism,
yep,
and with participating with the United States in a number of our military interventions previously.
No, I think that's right. Let me go to Brenda, who's calling from Washington State. She's online, too. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. My comment is, my hope is that the courage of the Brits to stand up to the EU will encourage Americans to stand up to the out-of-touch elites running our country and just say enough in November.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Professor Hutchinson has a piece up right now, Five Things You Need to Know About Brexit, which is the British exit. And one of those is the rejection of the elites. I want to talk to Harry about that. I want to get a comment from Wes and Than as well. But let's talk about that. This was fundamentally a rejection of status quo politics, status quo parties. This did not cut necessarily along the Tory lines or conservative lines and Labor. This was kind of did not follow the normal patterns, as we're seeing here in the United States as well.
Absolutely. And so the voters have administered a huge dose of humility, in my opinion, to members of both political parties.
Yep.
They've administered a huge dose of humility to the so-called smart money people, as well as the so-called intellectual elites,
yep,
and the bureaucrats that populate Washington and Brussels, as well as London.
So, Than, let me bring this to you then as our Director of Governmental Affairs. Does this vote send a strong message to the political elites, the political parties, the existing parties within the United States?
It absolutely does, Jay. It has been, I would call it almost humorous, the volume of incoming I have received this morning from people in this town who insist exactly the opposite. They want to insist that the sentiment that we've seen in the British electorate has nothing to do with the sentiment that we are seeing in the American electorate. And I think what Harry said is the reason I've received all of that incoming this day. They know the issues that push the British electorate to do this is the same sentiment they are seeing across the country in their states and in their districts. And quite frankly, Jay, I think they're nervous about it. People are
yep.
fed up that Washington, D.C. has not provided answers, and I think they know that they could be next.
David Cameron made this statement. I'm going to go to Wes on this, but I want to play the statement for everybody first. This is the military statement, and that's why we've got, again, if you're just joining us, we've got a whole panel of experts, as we try to do on all of these broadcasts. Professor Harry Hutchinson, law and economics professor, is with us. Also, of course, Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, Colonel Wes Smith, retired military army colonel who also served in, was stationed in Great Britain, so is an expert on military affairs. But let me play, Wes, for you. I'm going to play this for our audience as well on Facebook and Periscope and listening on radio. This is what David Cameron said, what would happen or could be the consequence of leaving the EU.
It is worth asking the question, which, you know, who would be happy if we left? Putin might be happy. I suspect al-Baghdadi might be happy. But our friends in Australia and New Zealand and America and all around the world and all around Europe, they're saying it's all up to you. It's all your choice. but we'd like you to stay. We think it's good for us and it's good for you.
Al-Baghdadi will be benefited if England stays with, leaves the EU, that somehow goes to the benefit. And Wes, I think that's exactly kind of the, actually, and I have a lot of respect for David Cameron, let me say that, but I think he got it exactly incorrect. That part of this vote, Wes, was the fact that the people of Great Britain said, we're not controlling who's coming into our country. We don't know who these people are. We know that al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that is, wants to get refugee status into the UK so that they can get their fighters, their jihadists in there. And I think that this was a rejection of that. Wes, your comment.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, the UK simply voted and that they were not willing to trust their national defense to the European Union.
Yep.
And, you know, NATO is the big overarching military group in Europe. And 22 of the countries that are members of the EU are already members of NATO. There are four that are not: Turkey, Albania, Iceland, and Norway. But most of the EU countries are part of NATO. And through the last several years, as you talk to people in those countries, what they see as their common defense militarily is not the EU, it's NATO.
Right. And I think, and John Bolton said that yesterday, this, you know, NATO is still the overriding factor there, and that's not going away. Let's try to grab another call quickly. Elizabeth, go ahead very quickly.
Hi, thank you, Jane, sure, for taking my call. I just, one of the things I wanted, the statements I want to make is I'm really proud that it seems like Americans are becoming more involved and educated in our democratic system. So my question is, it's clear that in part the reason for the dissent with immigration issues.
Yep.
And what is the possible impact that the new Muslim mayor could have on their immigration
law? So it's
laws?
The Muslim, the first mayor in London ever elected, a Muslim ever elected to the mayor of London. But there's an interesting anecdote. We only got about 35 seconds, but Harry, London actually, that portion of London went for staying in, correct?
Absolutely. And so the wealthy people in London, most of whom are part of the quote-unquote elite group, they wanted to remain. And so to the extent that this vote represents anything, it represents a rejection of London elites and perhaps a reversal, perhaps even a toughening of British immigration and security policies going forward.
It's interesting to see if Boris Johnson ends up being the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who is it's quite a character, but also very much pro-Israel. We'll talk about that when we come back from break. Hey, we're going to go into a last round, so get your questions in, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Got an email out, by the way, on this win yesterday at the Supreme Court. You want to make sure you open that up as well. The president was rebuffed in his attempt to overreach and change the law in the United States. You don't get to do that in Great Britain. Guess what? Can't do it here either. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. ISIS. One, name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. Two, fix our broken intelligence. Three, ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. Four, declare war on ISIS. And five, unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
European Union goes Great Britain. Out of number 10 Downing Street goes David Cameron. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's 800-684-3110. By the way, programming note, I'm on Sean Hannity's broadcast tonight, actually. It's airing tonight, so we've got a special broadcast there, kind of an update on some of the political issues going on in the United States of America. We're going to go right to our phones for this round. So let me start with Jeff, who is calling from Ocean City. He's been on the phone for a long time. Hey, Jeff, I'm going to send you a signed copy of our book, Undemocratic, because you've been hanging on there for almost 15 minutes.
Incredible. Thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I'm a libertarian, delegate at Orlando.
Yes, sir.
And I saw a lot of discussion about the globalists.
Yep.
And I think this is actually one of the events that we were discussing, and it's a great day to be a libertarian.
Well, I think, look, I mean, there is no doubt, Jeff, that there's been, and Harry, you comment on this, I'll get Dan to comment too, there's been a rejection of globalist and globalism generally.
Absolutely.
At least in the UK.
Absolutely. This move was propelled, at least in part, by the demand by the British people for more liberty, more freedom, and more opportunity to control their own future.
Yeah, I think that's clear. And Than, the question then is, if you're a political consultant right now in Washington, D.C., or working with any of the candidates, whether it's Gary Johnson, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, what are you saying? What are you looking at here?
I think if you're an incumbent, first of all, I think you're pretty nervous. I think
yep.
if you already reside in Washington, D.C., this is probably something to make you nervous. If you're talking about one of the three presidential candidates, whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Gary Johnson, I think it does probably help Donald Trump and Gary Johnson and hurts Hillary Clinton. But I would say this, you know, Donald Trump is the one who is going to be able to make the case that he
right.
can win states. The extent to which it helps Gary Johnson, I think that he has to first get to the point where he can get on the stage
yeah.
and actually compete in a state. But if he can do that, Jay, I think it helps him as well.
Yeah, 15% to get on that stage. Julie's calling from Santa Monica, California,
right.
on line two. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jay. I was reading the article by Harry Hutchinson on naming the enemy as necessary.
Yep.
And he had named them, we have to name them radical Islam. But I think we need to look further at the tenets of Islam itself. Britain allowed millions of
yes.
Islams in, and even the peaceful ones established their own enclaves, and radical ones do jihad. So I think we have to look at
yep.
these two divergent viewpoints of Western and Islam.
No, I think look, I mean, that's the point of Harry's article, and we're starting to use the phrase radical jihadists because it's more of an army approach to this, which is how it's engaged. But I think, you know, Julie, you bring up an important point. I'll let Harry address it because it's his article. But the fact is, that whole issue does tie into this whole British situation.
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think focusing at least initially on radical Islam is helpful in clarifying the nation's resolve to defend itself. And it may be necessary going forward to focus on Islam itself, to the extent
yep.
that it poses a continual threat and a continuing threat to the United States.
I think that's right. Tim's calling from California on line six. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jay. I
yep.
just had a comment.
Yep.
I don't believe this is the elite and the poor people voting against each other. I think this is the world globalists and those that want to stay national voting against each other, and this is the people, conservatives of America and the conservatives of the world, saying we don't want globalism.
Well, I think the issue is, you know, I think that's not incorrect what you said, but I do think that it comes into the same factor. The elites versus the non-elites, the establishment versus the non-establishment. You use the phrase working class versus the global businesses. Those aren't mutually exclusive terms, Harry. Those are actually all pointing at the same thing, and that's kind of the thematic of the program today. That has been, this eruption is in part that.
Absolutely, and I think if you look at the elites, either political or intellectual, they have, in general, looked down their nose at the concerns of everyday working Americans and working class Brits. They've also invoked political correctness as a way to demean the concerns of average working class workers as well. So they've used political correctness as a weapon.
Yeah, I agree. Debbie's calling from Fort Worth, Texas, on line four. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I'm awful glad you had Wesley Smith on. He's very knowledgeable, and I believe he was speaking truth.
Yep, great.
I think it is time for our country to be more, you know, the sovereign countries. My family history is European, Germany, and I have family still there. But in the United States, it's time that we, as working class, middle class, educated individuals, should stand up for our country. With Clinton and the NAFTA agreement, the Bushes with the North American Union, Obama with the open borders and bringing in whoever wants to come in here, and especially not the people, of course. But, I'm a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
I think we have a shot at keeping this country.
Well, I think, you know, listen, Debbie, first, thanks for listening to the broadcast. And Than, I think this is, again, is a political moment. There is no doubt about it. I think we'd be not telling the truth, which we're going to always do on this broadcast, if we didn't acknowledge this is a political moment.
Jay, I don't think there's any accident between the two facts. London voted to stay in the European Union, and Washington, D.C. does not see any parallels to what the U.K. just did and to their own situation here in America. And I would just say this. It's an opportunity for Donald Trump because it elevates the issues that he has been talking about, and it makes them top-tier issues in this election. It will be up to him to capitalize them and convince voters that he's the right one to address those problems. But the fight is now going to be on his turf. It's a huge advantage for him, Jay.
All right, Naomi, you're going to be the last caller of the day. You're on.
Yes, hi.
Hey.
We are built on a republic.
Right.
We were our forefathers. We are a republic, not a democracy.
That's right.
A
constitutional republic
is for the people and by the people. A democracy is for the government and by the government. And I think that terminology of democracy has come in as being something good.
Yeah, we're a constitutional republic. I mean, it's clear we're a constitutional republic. And in a constitutional republic, it's not simply majority rule. It's not the way it works. We have a system in place. I don't think that, by the way, that the British would view their system much differently, although they have a completely different coalition system politically. But, Harry, we've only got 30 seconds here. What is the fundamental message coming out of this decision with the British leaving the EU?
I think one of the fundamental messages coming out is the notion that the elites, armed with the notion of intellectual superiority, have substituted for too long self-congratulations for sound policy analysis. And so the middle class, the working class, have administered a dose of reality to both the British elites and American elites. And I think that's an important message that we should never forget.
A government of the people, by the people, and for the people, Abraham Lincoln said, shall not perish from the face of the earth. And reality is, we are a government of the people, and the Brits certainly say they are too. They had their own Independence Day, in a sense. That's going to do it for the broadcast. Have a great weekend, folks. Stay tuned to us on ACLJ.org. Make sure you're getting our email alerts, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.